Tony Stamp. Hello there.
Mm.
Tony's,
hi, Jesse.
Tony's part of the Music 101 team. He probably knows what mastering is.
Yeah, mastering's like sort of evening everything out so that it's ready for airplay. Mm. It's sort of like you have to go through quite a bit of your career before you're ready to master something. You are the master, if you can do that.
Right, we're mastering in that sense. Well, you are the master of film today, Tony.
Today I am, yeah.
You are our film critic. And first up, you're going to talk to us about The Irishman.
Yes, very, very excited about this one. It's the 25th narrative film from Martin Scorsese. He's also done about 10 or so documentaries. Uh-huh. You're a Scorsese fan?
I don't think I've...
Come on.
I don't think I've seen a Scorsese
really?
Film.
You must have seen Raging Bull?
No.
Mean Streets?
No.
Taxi Driver?
Uh-uh.
Goodfellas?
No.
Cape Fear?
I've seen Cape Fear.
Oh, so, great. Okay.
The original.
Oh, not the Scorsese version. Okay. So these are all films.
I'm just winding you up.
Have you actually seen any?
I think I've seen Cape Fear, yeah.
Okay.
All I can think of is the Simpsons Cape Fear episode, which is like
classic.
My favourite Simpsons episode.
For Sideshow Bob.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
When he keeps walking into the rakes.
And making that noise.
Oh, good. I'll have to watch that during the next news break.
Let's
thanks,
just
Tony.
The Simpsons.
Yeah.
So those films that I just mentioned, they are all Martin Scorsese, Robert De Niro collaborations, and this one is too. So De Niro plays the Irishman of the title. It's also got Joe Pesci, Ray Romano, Harvey Keitel, and Al Pacino doing his very first Scorsese film.
No disrespect, but is Ray Romano a bit lucky to be in that collection of actors' names?
What's going on? I feel like he's having this like post-comedy renaissance where he's popping up in drama roles.
Yeah, okay.
He's pretty good. He's okay, yeah. But I think lucky, yeah.
Yeah, Robert De Niro, Al Pacino in the same film. That doesn't happen very often.
Well, that is the other thing, yeah. I mean, it's a real meeting of some really huge talent. It's also written by a guy called Steve Zalian, who wrote Schindler's List, Moneyball, Clear and Present Danger. He's had a long career as well. It's based on a book called I Hear You Paint Houses, which is by a former homicide prosecutor called Charles Brandt. And it's the allegedly true story of this guy called Frank Sheeran, who's played by De Niro, who we start the film when he's in his 80s in a rest home. And then he kind of, you know, reflects on his life. So we flash back to the 1950s where he meets Joe Pesci's character, who's a mob boss. And then he's introduced to Jimmy Hoffa.
Well, when we flash back, is it the same actor playing him or is it a different actor?
Well, this is the thing. This is why this film took such a long time to make and cost such a lot of money.
Because they filmed the other scenes 25 years ago.
That would have been really impressive.
It's a very long-winded way of making a film, doing the flashback sequences in real time.
So it's the same actors and they have digitally de-aged
them. Oh, cool.
Yeah. So so you see Robert De Niro in his 80s, 60s, 40s, and 20s.
Boy, that's amazing.
I mean, hey, it's not seamless. I know a lot of people have found it quite distracting. I soon forgot about it. And the other weird thing is, like, so these actors are in their 70s, and they're being de-aged to look like they're in their 50s.
Mm.
So it's not that. It's not like they're making them look really young. It's a pretty subtle illusion.
Also, a Hollywood actor in his 70s sort of looks like he's in his 50s anyway.
Well, yeah, true.
It's very
yeah.
confusing. They must have just got this technology and started using it because there was a Will Smith movie where they did the same thing
Gemini
just
Man.
A couple of months ago, yeah.
Well, they're all using different techniques.
Are they?
So Gemini Man was a completely digital Will Smith. This one, they pioneered a new technique where they had two lenses on each camera, and so they didn't have to wear those dots on their faces. They could just act. And I think post-production took a long, long time and cost a lot of money. But I think it was worth it. So, yeah, this guy, Frank Sheeran, played by De Niro, meets Jimmy Hoffa, who you have probably heard of.
Yeah.
He was a union boss in the States and had mob connections. And they talk on the phone, and Hoffa says to him, I hear you paint houses, which is mob code for I hear you kill people.
Wow.
Because it's referring to blood on the walls. Yeah, yeah, quite ominous. And from there, we go on this big, you know, classic...
Very labor-intensive way of painting a house.
Well, you'd need a lot of... Yeah. We go on this classic Scorsese, you know, crime odyssey, going through the decades. Classic Scorsese stuff of these characters getting increasingly corrupted by this work that they're doing, you know, seemingly dispassionately, but they are, you know, robbing and murdering people.
Yeah.
And you just sort of see the toll that it takes on De Niro over the course of his life. I should say, actually, let me shout out Pacino, because Pacino is such a... He just acts his socks off. He chews any scenery that is available. yells a lot. De Niro and Pesci are really, really restrained and quiet and quite melancholy. Pacino is just often swearing and yelling, and it's great. He's completely unhinged.
Yeah.
And the film is 3.5 hours long. And over the course of the film, as I say, it gradually becomes more and more melancholy. The crime stuff just gets less and less fun. And by the end of it, you know, when De Niro is playing in his 80s and looking at his life, you sort of feel the weight of this life, you know, lived in crime. I should also say that Anna Paquin, New Zealand actress, plays his daughter in the film.
Great.
And she is brilliant. There's been a little bit of controversy about her in the film because she doesn't have many lines of dialogue. Mm. But that's kind of the point of her character, is that she's sort of the one good person in the film. And she is just silently judging her father through the whole thing. I thought she was brilliant.
You don't need lines in order to be able to act well, as we learned in Anna Paquin's first film.
Well, that's such a good point. Yeah. Well, that was Holly Hunter, right? Yeah. She didn't speak. Yeah. Yeah. Good point. So the filmmaking's amazing. I mean, Scorsese is an amazing filmmaker. It is 3.5 hours, but it whizzes by just because the editing is so good and it is so entertaining. I thought it was comparable to Goodfellas or more recently Wolf of Wall Street. I thought it was an easier watch than, say, Raging Bull. And by the end of it, I mean, I genuinely think it's one of his best. Yeah.
Great. It's called The Irishman by Martin Scorsese, his 25th narrative feature.
I should say that you can watch it on Netflix right now if you have a subscription, or you can go to the movies like I did. It's playing at the Academy in Auckland, the Roxy in Wellington, and the Lumiere in Christchurch.
It kind of disappoints me that you can watch it on Netflix.
I know, right? Well, that's why I kind of wanted to say that. Like, go to the movies. Yeah. Go see it on the big screen.
Mind you, I might want to talk. I haven't seen any of those other movies, even though they were on the cinema for the last 30 years. Made someone very cross on the text machine. 2101 to get in touch if you'd like to chide me on what films I should have seen. Now, I just don't have that. It's just not a genre of movies that naturally appeals to me. I don't know. What can I say? What's The Beach Bum? It sounds like more my scene.
The Beach Bum is a new film by Harmony Korine. He's the guy who wrote a film called Kids back in the 90s,
yeah.
I think. Really sleazy sort of film about, you know, wayward youth.
Although, mind you, it probably looks like a fairy tale.
These days, standards. Yeah. He directed a film called Gummo not long after, which was, you know, similarly debauched. And then a couple of years ago, he made one called Spring Breakers, which was his biggest hit. That one had James Franco in it, playing a gangster called Alien. So this one is his follow-up, and I think it's his broadest sort of comedy movie. It's similarly grotty in a way that I think all his movies are, and you kind of feel like you need a shower afterwards. But he can be quite artful. I think they're always nicely filmed and stuff like that, you know, nice to look at. The beach bum of the title is played by Matthew McConaughey. He plays a character called Moondog, and it's kind of the apex of McConaughey's, you know, stoner persona that he is often playing.
Yeah.
He's either playing really straight or he's playing like this space cadet.
Yeah.
And yeah, this is the apex of that. He has big shaggy hair.
I increasingly am unable to tell the difference between Matthew McConaughey and Christian Bale. I get them very confused with each other.
Oh, right.
Probably because I'm not going to the movies enough.
Well, they both tend to put on and then lose weight and get really skinny. Yeah. And get, that can't be good for you.
A lot of those actors look the same as though. I'm thinking, you know, who's it? Like Matt Damon and DiCaprio. And you know, it's just it's a look.
They all morph into one.
Some other cameos in this one?
There are. Snoop Dogg plays a rapper called Lingerie. Apparently he was just going to play himself, Snoop Dogg, but he got scared at the last minute and they, in post-production, changed his name to Lingerie. But there's a bit where they're listening to a Snoop Dogg song and he says, "This is my song." So it's all a bit confused.
This sounds like a terrible film, Tony.
It's an interesting one. I wouldn't say terrible. So Martin Lawrence pops up as a character called Captain Whack. Zac Efron's in there, Jonah Hill, the musician Jimmy Buffett. I would give it a gentleman's 6 out of 10.
Okay.
It's not a great film, but it is amusing.
Tell me about I Lost My Body. We get 3 films for the price of one today.
So I Lost My Body is a French animated film. It is on Netflix. It's not screening in any theatres in New Zealand, but I thought it was worth mentioning. There's 2 narratives. In one, a young guy falls in love with a girl, very classic stuff. And in the other narrative, we follow a severed hand, which has escaped from a medical lab and it embarks on a journey across Paris. So it sort of encounters rats and pigeons and all these other things.
Is it walking with its fingers?
Yeah, exactly.
Is it?
Yes, and the kind of question that hangs over it is, how are these two stories related? And that happens at the end. It's very sort of... it's very French, I have to say, whimsical, beautiful, really beautiful music and nice to look at.
How long is it?
1 hour and 20 minutes.
That's a long time to be watching this.
That's all right.
Hand walk around Paris.
Yeah, but there's other stuff going on. Okay. You know? Draws you in.
That one's called I Lost My Body. Good recommendation. Before that, The Beach Bum. And Tony was mostly talking about The Irishman today in his little movie review slot. Tony, thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Jason.
Tony Stamp. Renaissance man, also part of the Music 101 team.